Okay. We are in Heavenly Places, page 317. And this one's titled Sowing the World with Truth for today, November 6th. She starts off with Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. And it's, of course, Jesus talking. He says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father." That's the way the people are preaching it now. They stop there. You know, there's people that won't baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Because Jesus isn't God, the Holy Spirit doesn't exist. So they stop baptizing in that like that. And they call us Trinitarians. Because we believe God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost exist. But Trinitarians believe there's only one God with three heads coming out of the blob, God blob. So anyway, getting back. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." And then she says, Christ's last act before leaving the earth was to commission his ambassadors to go to the world with his truth. Hey, hold on. I'm going to make a weird noise. Hold on. Okay. Trying to get away for the echo to go away. That's the microphone stand. Those are soundproof springs. Maybe 10 years ago, but I don't know. Anyway, she says, Christ's last act before leaving the earth was to commission his ambassadors to go to the world with his truth. His last words were spoken to impress the disciples with the thought that they held in trust the message of heaven for the world. Isn't that neat? Every single solitary one of us has that opportunity. We have a message from heaven for the world. And this is why our numbers are so small. The devil's made sure everybody else that could have had that message are busy sitting in front of a television set for watching whatever they want, or busy in their careers, or just plain busy. She goes on to say that if we but realized how earnestly Jesus worked to sow the world with the gospel seed, we, living at the very close of probation, would labor untiringly, that's a rough one, to give the bread of life to perishing souls. Now, she's talking this over 100 years ago. Probation has closed already on the corporate churches. And I got a page on the website all about this. As a matter of fact, I got like a 3 or 4 part sermon series on it as well. I think that's the latter rain. I got something on this too, I think, though, in regards to the probation. But what I mean by the corporate churches, every single solitary 501c3 church, this includes the Ninth Hour Seventh-day Adventist Church, in all the Protestant churches, all the Catholic churches, probation's closed on them. Not the people in them. It's the church body itself. And in some cases, some of the prelates, you know, the leaders of the church, because they know what they're up to and they don't care. They're Luciferians. They're devil worshippers. And I'm, of course, mostly leaning towards Vatican type people, but you have them in every denomination now. Part of their oath is to infiltrate. This is why we see some people actually using the art of infiltration rather than just evangelistic, you know, truth from Christ. Because they don't believe in him, so they don't believe his truth is powerful enough to gain numbers to their side of the fence. So they'll try to use infiltration and lies and pull people out of churches to get on their side of the fence. So, but probation has closed on all those churches. The people are now hearing the fourth angel, Revelation 18, verses 1 to 5. But it is up to them, you know, what they do next. Sadly, the majority of them will not care until the plagues begin. And then as the prophet Amos says, and I go into a little bit of detail about this tomorrow because someone asked a question about Amos, or that prophecy, in fact, that he said about, you know, the famine in the land thing. The famine in the land is preparing, let's say. It's obvious now that what Amos said is going to be fulfilled. You know, it's already fulfilling now all around us. That's why I speak about it so much. But the foundation is being laid. In other words, it has to get bad enough to where when the plagues begin, the foundation's set and the prophecy's fulfilled. There is going to be an absolute famine then. Only 144,000 people on the planet are going to understand the truth. That's the Gideon band. The rest of the people, even though they cry out for it and they seek it with earnest desire and with tears, it's too little too late now. It literally, I mean, it's like what Jeremiah said, or was it Isaiah? You know, summer has ended, the harvest is past, summer has ended, we are not saved. They know. That's the reason for some of the people weeping at the end of the 1,000 years. And boy, I got to tell you, I wouldn't want to be a pastor. Yeah, thanks, Jeremiah. Okay, it was Jeremiah. Jeremiah 8:20, by the way. But I wouldn't want to be a pastor. I wouldn't want to be in their shoes when that day comes. When that day comes during the plagues and at the end of the 1,000 years either. Because the people are going to turn around. The ones that are weeping because they knew the truth, but they put it on the back burner because, you know, for whatever reason, whatever method the devil used to get them off track, they fell for it because they couldn't stand for Christ. Like I always say, if you don't stand for something, if you don't stand for Christ, you'll fall for anything. Actually, I just say it like that from now on. And so it's going to be very, 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 very obvious in the coming days, especially if we're part of that number and we see, you know, the plagues begin and there's going to be all these people out there that are wanting to know what we know, but they can't get there because the Holy Spirit's more or less left the planet. It hasn't completely because we're there. We're on the planet, and he's in our hearts. But for them, no, there's no more calling out. Whoever's unjust is going to remain unjust, period. No getting around it now. I mean, they should have looked into the Word of God beforehand. And so she goes on. God calls upon every church member to enter his service. Truth that is not lived, that is not imparted to others, loses its life-giving power, its healing virtue. And this is something that I have seen in my own walk the last 30-some-odd years. Every time I share my faith with somebody, the Lord gives me a couple of more pearls of truth, every single solitary. And it might be small pearls. Sometimes I'll get some real lunkers, you know, big ones. But usually it's the small ones. And slowly but surely, it just gets better and better and better. You keep sharing it, he's going to keep giving it because he knows he can trust you to keep sharing it. So he's going to keep giving it. It's a wonderful circle of events there. But anyway, she says, everyone must love to work or learn to work. Well, same thing. Learn to work and to stand in his lot and place as a burden bearer. Wait. Oh, everyone must learn to work and to stand in his lot and place, lot and place, as a burden bearer. Every addition to the church should be one more agency for the carrying on of the great plan of redemption. So, for those of you that got baptized recently, you have a duty. You have a work to do. You're going to help. There's a reason the Lord called you into the church. He's got some work that only you can do. And I'm not trying to puff your head up or anything like that, but there's something that you're going to be able to do that no one else can in the church family can do like you do. And vice versa. There's things I can do that you can't, and there's things you can do that I can't. And it's just amazing the way he works that out. So she says the entire church, acting as one, remember what Christ used the analogy about the body of Christ? So acting as one, blending in perfect union, you know, gospel order, like we were talking about a couple of minutes ago. She says it is to be a living, active missionary agency. That, of course, leaves off the table all infighting. But that's what the devil likes to keep on the table, to keep the confusion, the anger, and all the, you know, strange discussions going on so as to prevent the active missionary agency. Because he don't want to lose his trophies. So she says, it is the law of heaven that we, that as we receive, we are to impart. The Christian is to be a benefit to others. Thus he himself is benefited. He that watereth shall be watered also himself. Proverbs 11:25. That's like I said earlier. It really does happen that way. It really, really does. And this is not merely a promise, she says. It is a law of God's divine administration, a law by which he designs that the streams of beneficence shall be kept, like the waters of the great deep, in constant circulation, perpetually flowing back to their source. In the fulfilling of this law is the power of the Christian of Christian missions. And this, I don't know why, but the Lord just took me all the way back to me walking around on the roof of the 1011 Day House and talking to Dave Luna. He's the only reason I mention his last name is because he has already gone to rest. He's dead. He died a few years ago of cancer. And he was a very confused man. But he had a lot of questions about God. And if it wasn't for all the questions he had, or all the questions that Rich Griffin had, he's another one that died recently, a friend of mine, he actually died about 15 years ago. If it wasn't for all their questions, I wouldn't have been as well educated in regards to the answers, because you got to open up the Bible to get the answers. And so you get the answers and you give it to them. And then it's just like, the water, you water someone, though, doing the, like it says here in Proverbs, he that watereth shall be watered also himself. And so it was really something I couldn't, fathom never doing. I mean, it was just walking around on that roof, going back and forth. And I don't know how many times I almost fell off the edge of it, too, because there was no guardrail. It was just a flat roof, like a back door foyer, kind of an entrance to the house. And so no one actually saw me walking on the roof. I was in the backyard, just going back and forth. I'm surprised I didn't cut a rut. But there were times I got real close to the edge and didn't realize until the last second. Because you just get, in that conversation, talking, the pacing when you're talking, because I like talking to my feet. But it really was a strong education. It was like I always say, the school of hard knocks. So it got me to where I wanted to be in regards to understanding the truth at that time. And like we all are, that's just the way we are. All of us, that's the only way you can learn the truth, and that's from him. Because he wrote the Bible, not you. And so what she's saying here hits hard for me, because this is more or less how I cut my teeth in the Word of God, is just by answering the question. Like I've always said, the topical studies, because people always call with a question in regards to a certain topic. What does the Bible say about this? And it's amazing how the Lord would send people and ask those questions. And it really shocked me with Dave, because you wouldn't think this guy would even want anything to do with the Bible. It's just like with Rich, too, Griffin, the one that, I grew up with him. He got kicked out of his house when he was 12. I kid you not. You talk about dysfunctional. But I knew him I think I was like 16, he was 12. And he moved in with us. We had 12 kids all of a sudden at the house for a few years. And him, he's another one. He was rambunctious, always. I mean, he was an alcoholic, too. He was just big-time sin, everything that's whatever the world had to offer. But then all of a sudden, a few years before his death, it would shock me. Where the kids called the rat house, I used to walk around in the front yard with him answering questions. And then on the phone, of course, a lot, too. But then they got sick, and then that was rough. But so cherish these times when people ask you these questions. It's how the Lord's going to reveal to them and you at the same time. Because a lot of times when you're sharing with somebody, you're learning too. Because that's just how it works. Because if you really want to get the answer for your friend or your loved one, you go into the scriptures and you go, well, wow, I didn't know that it said that. And, it actually helps you at the same time you're helping them. So really, he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Isn't that amazing how blunt and accurate the scripture is sometimes? But people go, oh, what does that mean? Well, keep reading it. If faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And then she finishes by saying, we have only a little longer time in which to prepare for eternity. The whole body of believers needs to be vitalized by the Holy Spirit of God. We should study, plan, economize, and set in operation every means possible whereby we may reach and bless suffering and ignorant humanity. But you got to be careful here. Yes, it's an amazing thing to work for the Lord. But I did this in my early years even before I went full-time. By the time I went full-time, I was pretty well, I gauged myself. I knew how to handle my time. But then I always did. I went a little bit overboard when I first started doing ministerial work. But the Lord showed me how to be self-employed, entrepreneurial. But I'm not entrepreneurial now. I'm just saying that that's what I always wanted to be. I wanted to be my own boss. And so for a while, yeah, I had businesses, but none of them really worked out because I was just too busy partying. But the thing is, when I first got into the truth, I had a 9-to-5 job, and the Lord had me doing this work, with the ministry. And it was like working two jobs. And it'll stress you out after a while. So I learned to gauge myself. I learned to gauge my time better. And some of you that are stepping into the work, And Craig had to deal with this too. When he first started getting into the work, he just went way too far because he's got such a burden for souls. And it reminds me of when I was first starting out, you know, you want to save everybody. You know, you figure, okay, well, there's 7 billion people on the planet. Well, I got time. No, you don't. You can't do it all. Don't kill yourself doing the work. Do like Moses was told to do through Jethro, who was told, of course, by God, obviously. Do it, you know, work smart. You know, you got to work smart. Otherwise, you're going to, you know, put yourself in an early grave. Ellen White even talks about her husband dying early because he overworked himself. And I can understand that because you get to a point. And this is like when I'm looking, like now I'm looking for a hobby or something like that, just something to get away. Because if I'm sitting here, I'm going to start doing some work. I don't want to sit there and watch videos all the time because sometimes you're just plain stupid. You can't find nothing. And I've already watched all the documentaries and all the, you know, how it's made videos. And it's just now it's just stupid stuff and I don't want to look at it. And so I'm looking for ways to, you know, relax because you got to have that time. And then Sister White even goes into detail about having time away. And this is where I made a big mistake this year. You know, because we had to have some work done around the house because of damages that were done and the people that were doing the work kept dragging their feet. But then we had that month of rain. And so I never got away. And I'm surprised y'all didn't notice it when we were at the convocation. I was doing my best to be as calm as I could be because I was the Lord was working with me already before then in regards to not trying to do more than I can physically handle. But I was pretty stressed out and I needed that time away. But Craig, he goes even a little further. But like I said, it reminds me of when I was younger in the work. So gauge yourself. Don't you don't want to go too far, too fast. You know, especially like you start losing sleep. So she says, in finishing, the light which God has given to us as a people is not given that we may treasure it among ourselves. Because that's what the Jews did, if you recall. Could you imagine if they would have ran with it the way he said he wanted them to run with it? To this day, the Jews would be the people on the planet that everybody in the world could go to find out what God would have them do. And instead, that's going to be our duty as the Gideon Band, as we are ambassadors for Christ in the universe when we go home. And it'll be exactly as he wanted it to be in the first place. Ain't that going to be neat? And then she says, we are to act in harmony with the Great Commission given to every disciple of Christ to carry to all the world the light of truth. Hope and pray you're blessed.